monster from his lab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash.
Welcome in. We are back with the Week 8 A-League podcast review. I'm here tonight joined by Jordy Moybon. And Jordy, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Sam. You any trick-or-treaters?
No. So my apartment, you have to go through two doors. So definitely no one is making it through two doors to our apartment.
Makes sense. Yeah, we actually got more than I would have expected with how shitty the weather is.
Yeah. So, I'm sure it's pretty rough in Chicago, but yeah, it's snowing here.
Yeah, today, seriously.
So, that was strange. But did you dress up today at work?
Well, considering I work from home, I would have only dressed up for myself in the mirror. So, that would have been pretty weird.
Did you dress up for work?
So, so yes, I did. I had six different costumes that I wore for myself.
Nice. One for each hour.
How about you?
I did not. Not big into that, but one guy at my office did dress up as Tom Allen, so I was pretty pumped about that.
Hell yeah. So, that's great.
Yeah. We're back. Going for victory number 7 this week, Northwestern. Group of us will be down there. You're not coming, right? You'll be
in Chicago. No, I will be in Chicago. Jesus, dude. Going for win number 7, and it's not even November. That's a pretty damn good feeling.
Yeah. I saw somewhere this week, this is the first home game we've had being bowl eligible since 1993.
Well, yeah, because the only other two times we were bowl eligible, we had to win our last game.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Which is just wild, but
mm-hmm.
Here we are. It's a great feeling.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Let's hop into the league note. And we finally had a trade this week. I think it's our third one of the year. And you were involved in this one. Pretty substantial trade. You send Devin Singletary, Michael Gallup, Kareem Hunt, and your fourth rounder next year? Or was it a couple years ahead? Fourth rounder next year?
Fourth round next year. Next year.
To fill for Alvin Kamara, Mike Williams, and Raquel Armstead. From my perspective, since you were involved,
I'll
get my thoughts on it.
For sure.
I think this makes you the clear favorite to win the championship this year because Kamara has been hurt the last couple weeks, but they're on a bye this week. I'm just assuming that he's going to come back healthy, and you did not have to give up anyone who I think you maybe have played Gallup once, military once, only in like weird situations. So I think you didn't really have to give up much. And Mike Williams is just a good, if Alvin Kamara does not come back healthy, Mike Williams is just a good, a flex option as either of those guys. If not better. So I think this makes your team the clear favorite as of right now.
Interesting. Yeah. I think as of right now, like my best possible lineup would have been Gallup flex. So pretty much what I'm doing here is upgrading my flex in a pretty big way. I was pumped to get Kamara. Seemed to make sense. And I also think that it gives Phil two starters for this week. And I think Phil, if he gets one more win, he's probably out of Sacco territory. So I think that helps him for this year. I think the main reason, though, why Phil made this pick was for next year. First off, for the fourth round pick, which is a pretty high one. And also, these three guys are all potential keepers. So Singletary, I think I got in like the 6th, and then Gallup in the 9th, and Kareem in the 12th. And Phil's only keeper, he told me, was Kamara in the 1st. So, yeah, this is pretty much I'm trying to go all out. I wanted to upgrade my flex, and that was the first trade I sent, and Phil was all for it. So, we'll see. I'm excited to have Kamara, though.
Yeah, I would be, too. fallout from this trade, I will not name names, but I received multiple texts regarding implementing a trade deadline because of this trade. Personal opinion, I think a trade deadline probably be good moving forward, but I don't think, like, we wouldn't have had a trade deadline before this would have happened. It would have been like a week or two away anyway.
Okay.
But it did. I think this is something that may end up happening more, because Phil had kind of scratched his way to 4-4 after he lost Antonio Brown, his third round pick, basically the whole year. And he did make a smart move, in my opinion, from his standpoint, because he's kind of he's not completely out of Sacco territory, but he's pretty close, and he doesn't have like a roster that could really make a real run at a championship. So I think he made a pretty smart move from his perspective to build for the future. So that's just a little bit of fallout from this, but I don't think having a trade deadline would have would have made a difference for this situation.
Yeah, probably would have been like week 11 or something.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah, probably a little deeper on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I think I do think he gets three guys who he can start, which is good, especially with, you know, Fuller got hurt as well. So he's kind of scraping for receivers, and I think Gallup's in at least like an every week start, you know, wide receiver too. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm pretty hyped to get Mike Williams too, because I think this is kind of when he started to turn it around last year. So hopefully the same thing can kind of happen.
Yeah. Because you have a cup on bye. You have a couple guys on bye,
right?
So you are playing most of the
time. Yeah, I'm still not sure if Adams is going to play for sure yet. So might have to start and Mike Williams. So we'll see.
Oh, really? He's.
I think he's going to play.
Back. Yeah.
I know. He's had two straight limited practices. I think he'll play, but just in case he doesn't. I got to be prepared.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, so I think I was right. That was only the third trade we've had of this year.
So you and Richie and – oh, yeah, right. And then Browns and Sander, right.
Yeah. Pretty this is a big one, but a pretty rough year for trading.
It has been.
Our group.
We're like –
yeah.
Or at least like the World Cup, everyone's just afraid to make a mistake. Like, no one wants to help. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, I don't even feel like – I haven't even gotten, like, offered many trades, and I haven't offered many myself. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I agree. It's been a weird year. I feel like when I've looked, I mean, especially when Kerryon went down, I've looked a lot, and there's just like, I feel like no one's really deep enough at running back to make a good trade. I threw out some just shitty trades to some people this week. I think Knopf just laughed in my face at one, and I was just like, yeah, I was just seeing if maybe you would, maybe something would happen, but yeah, it was a terrible trade.
Might as well.
All right, let's jump into last week's matchups. Just a quick side note. Last week we actually recorded the entire podcast, me, you, and Rishi, and found out as soon as we finished, I scrolled over to the screen that had the recording, and it had computer pretty much stopped recording halfway through and died. So we're back to normal anchor. Recording over the phone, not on the Mac. So, apologies for last week. All right, jumping into the matchups. Me versus you is the first one start or listed.
Woo!
Yeah,
like that. Like that shit, Sam.
You kicked my ass. I mean, my team was pathetic this week outside of Dalvin Cook. I would have been the lowest scorer. I almost Kerry almost outscored me without playing a running back, and I pretty much got bailed out by Juju on Monday night to not be that. So, your team, I mean, you streamed Tannehill, who did what you would want as a streamer. Cooper Kupp is a god, is unbelievable. And then Chris Carson and Fournette just continued to do their thing. And outside of Kenny Stills, you didn't have anyone who killed you. I mean, Darren Waller and A.J. Brown, both 2 catches, 11 yards, touchdown. I mean, are you shitting me?
That's some efficiency right there, Sam.
Yeah. But, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. My team just outside of those – I mean, outside of Dalvin Cook and Juju, no one really did anything for me. So.
Right. But, I mean, yeah, the Tannehill one was lucky too because, I mean, look at that, 193 yards against Tampa Bay. Yeah. A really bets, and he still had 3 touchdowns. So that was because Jameis just kept turning it over, and they would have – I think I saw it 3 times where they started at inside the 20 because it was a fumble or a pick. So thanks, Jameis.
Yeah. I mean, your team was – I mean, your team, no one killed you, but, I mean, Cooper Kupp is just – I swear, I was watching Red Zone, and they were like, they weren't on the Rams game. They were, I can't remember what game they were on, but they like kept switching to the Rams game like every other play. And I thought the same play happened 3 times in a row because literally Cooper Kupp over the middle for like 17 to 20 yards, 3 consecutive plays.
Yeah, I mean, seven catches, like 220 yards is really impressive, but you would expect like 13, 14 catches for 220 yards. For 7 yards or 7 catches, I mean, every play, it was like a 30-yard chunk play. I mean, obviously the 60-yard touchdown helps, but –
Yeah, but even without that.
There's still – I know, yeah, exactly. There's still 160 yards there and 6 catches, which is insane.
Yeah, he's incredible. It's amazing how well he's bounced back. He's literally – he had one bad week against San Francisco. Yeah,
I think. And that was when, you know, they threw for like 100 yards. So you can't really expect him to have a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. I will be drafting him every year until I die.
All right. That's quite the story. All right. So we're both at 5-3. Moving on, obviously you made the big trade, so you definitely have a leg up on me at this moment. Next game,
it doesn't help with Kerryon being out.
What?
I said it doesn't help that you lost Kerryon. No, Ty Johnson.
I mean,
you weren't the only one, dude. Everyone bid at least 30 some bucks on him. I mean, there were like 11 bids for him. So
yeah, I mean, the Trey Carson guy didn't even. He was on the Packers 2 weeks ago and practice squad, and all of a sudden he's leading the team in carries. So, I don't know. Yeah, my team is
– Makes down, no but... sense.
All right, next game we had Knopf, let's be honest, against Eric Loaded Geis. You picked Knopf to cover the 10-point spread, and Knopf, he went off. 143, won by 39. Aaron Jones has become like what Le'Veon Bell was with the Steelers, kind of. Is that fair?
I mean, eight targets. I mean, did you watch the game? He had one where he set that about.
Yeah. It would have been an easy touchdown.
Yeah. It was almost weird because he didn't really have to tiptoe, and he did anyway. And he went out of bounds. I mean, that would be another – 8 points right there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he got stopped at, like, the 20. So, yeah, he's unbelievable. Do you think Adams coming back is going to kind of – because, like, none of their receivers are consistently getting looks. It's the only ever since Adams went down. And Rodgers is kind of made dude. Do you think it's going to hurt him at all? I mean, I wouldn't think so.
I mean, it might a little bit. I feel like it'll hurt Jamal Williams more because
they've
been doing a lot more. I feel like they've been having both of them on the field a lot more while Adams is out, which I mean, I guess when Adams was there they were rotating the two guys more, but Jones was still the receiving touchdown guy. I feel like,
do you think that Mike McCarthy is watching these games? He's like, oh, Aaron Jones, huh? Maybe I should have fucking used him.
Yeah. God.
I mean, every person has been saying it for the last 3 years. Like, dude, give him the ball.
Right, just let him eat. Yeah, he's so good. Honestly, Jamal Williams is pretty good, too.
He is, too. Both really good. But, like, dude, yeah, but, like, you're to your point about Le'Veon, they were putting him, like, out wide. Like, these weren't, like, running back routes. Like, he was doing on linebackers and just burning them. So, wow. Yeah, he looked amazing. And also, Le'Veon had a bad game, 143. I mean, Le'Veon's not going to – Le'Veon will be fine.
No. All right, yeah, agreed. He will. Especially, I mean, their schedule coming up is so juicy.
All the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
I think Eric puts up 100 points every week. I mean, Eric has a solid team. He's just run into some really good players. I think I looked and Eric has like the fifth most points.
Yeah, Eric just always ends up playing someone who has a really good week, it seems like.
Yeah, that's one of those years.
And he had this week without Zeke, which
– Right.
I mean, his main guys did what you want them to do. Probably a little disappointed with Russell Wilson, but, I mean, Royce Freeman, Marlon Mack, Michael Thomas, Calvin Ridley did what you'd expect, if not a little bit more. It was just – yeah, I mean, Crowder didn't. Crowder's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I get the play though, because he has had that floor where he gets like 12 targets. And they're not like big plays, of course, but that's still in PPR, it's like a cool 10 points. So, I'm a big believer in Darnold, so I don't know what the hell is happening over there. I like to think it's Gase's fault to make myself feel better, but I don't know. I mean, the Jags are a good defense, though.
They haven't been as good since Ramsey stopped playing.
They did get Josh Allen with the 7th pick because NFL teams are stupid. You know, he's having like the same stats as Bosa, but he's just not getting talked about.
Oh, the defensive end, Josh Allen.
Yeah, different Josh Allen.
Oh, no, I did not realize that.
Yeah, he has like the same amount of sacks and pressures as Bosa. But I guess Bosa was just drafted higher. But yeah, I just thought that was crazy how far he fell in the draft because he just looked like the prototypical perfect pass rusher. And yeah, he's killing it too. But
yeah.
It certainly helps, or certainly hurts when you lose top three corner in the league.
Right. Yes. But yeah, so Nolf is at 5-3. His team, I mean, DJ Chark, probably the pickup of the year so far.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Yeah, he's wide receiver, what, 5? Yeah.
I wonder what he bid on him, too. It probably wasn't much. I think I put in like a $1 bid on him just because I was like, the Jags don't excite me that much.
Right. Yeah, I may have put a – I think I just put a $0 bid just to see, like, oh, if I get him, I'll take him, but I'm not really trying to get him, which – yeah,
great. Yeah, I put $1 on him and 15 on the Browns D. Did you see that one?
No. Just this week?
Yeah. I feel like a fucking idiot. I was so, like, I was watching – So you were the only other one to put a bid on. I mean, you put $0. And so, like, if you look at the Browns schedule, I'm a little bit vindicated because their schedule coming up is really easy. But I just kept going back and forth. I feel like someone's going to see the schedule and bid big. So I'm going to go get them for 15 and only two people bid.
That's funny. I mean, I spent half my fab last week, so I'm running lower. So I put out a bunch of $0 bids this week that didn't do a whole lot for me, but
yeah.
Oh,
might as well.
Yeah. Quick side note. Brought this up when we recorded last week, but obviously no one heard it. But there's been a trend this year where the first week that I have a defense, they lose. If they're the favorite, they lose, or if they are supposed to lose, they get destroyed. Had the Browns week 1, lost it, got killed by the Titans. Had the Titans week 2, they lost to the Colts. I picked up the Ravens the week before for the week the Browns destroyed them. I picked up the Lions the week the Vikings put up like 50 on them.
-9.
I had the Jets the week. I had the Jets on my bench the week the Patriots crushed them with Darnold when Darnold was seeing ghosts. So if anyone's keeping score at home, I did pick up the Cowboys D. So the Giants may be a pretty good bet this week.
Some of those don't even make sense. Like the Ravens at home against the Browns is a great, great pickup, great play.
Yeah. Nope.
And Chubb just went crazy.
Yep. Think again. All right. So Knopf moves to 5-3. Eric down to 2-6. If we look at the standings, so that Knopf is in fourth and Eric is in 11th. I think Eric Knopf has put himself firmly in the playoff hunt, and his team's looking solid moving forward, especially with Le'Veon's upcoming schedule. And then Eric, I think, has an outside chance to make a run.
I think Eric will be fine. I think his team's still trending up just because he played Knopf. I mean, he won two straight before this, and I think his team's pretty damn sustainable. His core is really good, and Wilson will give you those weeks where he just goes off too. So
yeah,
this week's tough though because he's got who's it, Thomas and Ridley on a bye.
Right.
So that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
But yeah.
All right. Sure. Next game we got the Pat Pack, Phil versus Ronk Darth Vaders. You took Phil in the pick'em, and Phil won by 22. And this was an interesting game because Ronk just went kickerless.
Yep.
Which when I saw it originally, I was like, that's pretty dumb. But then I looked at his bench and I was like, I mean, I guess the only person I would maybe drop would be DeSean Jackson.
Right. And he'd be a great pickup. I mean, people would snatch him up right away. Right. Yeah, him or Lane. Probably. I mean, just because he has so many receivers around that tier that I definitely get it, and it probably wouldn't have mattered, which probably makes him feel good.
And
that's interesting. That the move by Phil is freaking hilarious, by the way. Monday, so drops McCoy and then Monday morning waivers scoops Boswell for $6. At the off chance that Runk picks him up, and he scores 23. I mean, hey, but Phil needed a win, so he went all out. I love it. That was hilarious.
So funny. Yeah, right. I mean, you got to respect him for it.
For sure.
Latavius Murray has been a stud in Alvin Kamara's absence. He's not. Doesn't really do a whole.
No, that's actually partly why I traded for him. Was just like, Jesus Christ, if Latavius Murray is doing this, then Kamara,
right,
just fine.
Yeah, completely agree. Outside of Latavius Murray, he had a pretty pedestrian week.
Mm-hmm.
I guess no one really killed him. He was like 6-7 to 12. I guess it 49ers D neutralized the Patriots D, which was huge for him because that would have been the one way Runk would have been able to pull it out.
Right.
If the Patriots D would have just gone out whichever defense they were going against in this matchup.
They score every week.
But is this week – who they play this week? Well, the Ravens are
at least Baltimore. Yeah, and actually, the Browns actually moved the ball pretty well. They just had they had three straight plays with a turnover.
Yeah, that was wild. So I was actually in my other league. I was playing Clay Morrison, who had Nick Chubb, and we had watched the Colts game together. And before he had gotten home, Chubb had already fumbled twice. He texted me, was like, what the fuck is going on?
Dude, that was – yeah, it was two straight plays, and one of those he ran for like 65 yards and almost scored.
So that – actually, watching that game, the Browns kind of – they were able to run the ball pretty well. They just dug too much of a hole, and they couldn't run it as much as they probably wanted to. So if – I mean, with the Ravens will probably – maybe be able to push him around a little bit. I don't know.
For sure.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Watching this game yet? Cardinals just came down and scored.
Who scored?
Freaking Kenyon Drake.
On a run?
Yeah, on a run. I was just looking at – oh, yeah. Probably. Sorry. Because you have Kyler, right?
What? I benched him.
Oh, got you. Oh, you played Jameis. But, yeah, yeah. I was looking if Reese played Drake, and he did not. Sorry, Rich.
Oh, he was texting me about it today.
I don't blame him, though. I mean, against the 49ers.
Yeah, and he's been there for 4 days.
So annoying. Because I think that would have been crazy to start him, right?
I mean, unless you literally had no other option.
Oh, no. George Kittle just got really hurt.
Seriously? That's not good for him.
It almost looked like a non-contact. I hope it's just a cramp, but all right, let's we're worried about this week now.
Looking at Runk's team, I mean, he fell into that Lions trap with J.D. McKissick with me, so it's nice to have a brother in arms there. but I mean, okay, Zach Ertz, is he the most disappointing pick this year? He's got to be up there. He wasn't in Phil's poll, but he's got to be up there.
You know, it's disappointing for Runk is another guy who would be one of the most disappointing is Joe Mixon, because Mixon was like a fringe first round pick. He looked great past week. But yeah, Ertz is like, I mean, I think in the past few years, if he had a game like he had this week, he would save himself with a touchdown. But Goddard is now like the red zone guy, which kills.
Yeah. Right. The only reason I say Ertz is maybe most disappointing is because he's a tight. Like, if you're picking a tight end early, like, I feel like it's much easier to live with doesn't do as much that early than a tight end. Because,
right.
I mean, if you're looking at Ertz, he's basically a streaming tight end right now.
Right. You're taking the tight end to be a true difference maker in like the first couple rounds.
Right.
Very true. Yeah, then maybe he is. But that's crazy. So were the Lions just using Carson, or were they using like four running backs? Because McKissick only had four.
They used all four. Somehow Ty Johnson was on the field more than any of them, and he was on the field for 40% of snaps. So,
did you watch Red Zone though? I mean, every time they went to Red Zone, Stafford was launching it like 50 yards down the field. So
they've completely turned into the Lions of like the last 5 years.
Yeah, which is crazy because they hired this boring ass offensive coordinator. And so, like, I was like, I want nothing to do with any of their receivers. This is going to be like the Seahawks last year. And now, Galladay's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they got Galladay's amazing. And then Amendola played well, and then
Martin
has the ability to have those big games.
A frustrating team for fantasy, though, because only one guy has a good game. Like, Marvin Jones had four touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then now Galladay had two.
Yeah, you're very right.
And then you can't not start Marvin Jones after he scores 40.
Right.
So, yeah, that's frustrating.
All right, so Phil is at 4-4, and Runk moves to 3-5. The next matchup we got is Jerry, the late bloomers, against Team No Name. You took
Shame.
+20. Team No Name. Team No Name wins in dominating fashion, thanks to Kerry playing an injured David Johnson.
That was injured all fucking week. Like, no one thought he was going to play. Come on, Jerry. So yeah, that's my not Burt move of the week. We're going lower. We're going someone who's never even been in the league. Joey's or Jordy's O'Hara move of the week is Carey playing David Johnson, especially while he had two like pretty decent running backs on the bench. And just saying he would have played Jamal Williams, he would have covered, and I would be 5-1 this week and not 4-2. So good shit, Jerry.
So you're not bitter at all?
Maybe a little.
But, I mean, I was a little surprised that Carey dropped Jameis, because even though he turns the ball over a shit ton, they're always behind, so he always has to throw the ball a billion times.
Yeah. If he didn't turn it over, he'd be like the number one quarterback.
Oh, yeah, he'd be awesome.
They just love the field.
I zone Tevin Coleman with a monster game. The 49ers are so good at running the ball. It doesn't matter who they have. Like, if they just had one person, they'd be like the number
one. Oh, my God. And if they had, like, Le'Veon or, like, McCaffrey or something, and, like, they didn't use all four.
Yeah. It
would be insane.
Because, like,
I mean, that's
when they were almost all, like, when Breida and Mostert were both, like, maybe not going to play, Jeff Wilson would have been at least a running back two this week.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He probably would have had 20 points.
Yeah.
Dude, Shanahan is just a genius. I mean, Shanahan was the guy who when Freeman and Coleman were started for the Falcons, that was Shanahan.
Yeah.
When Alfred Morris was like a god one year, that was Shanahan. That was Shanahan too. So he's just, he's incredible.
He's very, very good. From Joe's side, starting Gardner Minshew, did he pick him up last week?
He did.
Yeah, great. That was a fantastic move. And now he gets Drew Brees back, who looked phenomenal.
Oh my God.
He wasn't even out for 6 weeks or whatever.
Seriously, that was amazing. Looked just like his old self.
Yeah.
Now they know if something happens to Brees, they could still win it all.
Yeah, no kidding. I was watching something that said that's why they didn't look to trade Bridgewater at the deadline, because if something were to happen to Brees, they'd feel like they would still be able to win this year, which is
for sure. I mean, if they're going all in, I feel like they trade like a first or second round pick every year just to, you know, upgrade one position. So yeah, I say just all out, win a Super Bowl this year and then figure it out next year. So I think it makes sense. But yeah. Yep. Joey's looking strong. 4-4 and his team's looking good. He's got two good running backs. He's got two really good receivers. I mean, Allen Robinson, what is he on the year? He's got to be close to top 10. He's so consistent.
He's 18th standard, 14th PPR. I don't know.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, he's got two. He's got one high-end wide receiver two and a wide receiver one.
Yeah.
Every other week for Mike Evans.
He'll have Mike Evans. I feel like he always does stuff like this where he'll have just god awful games and then just incredible games where he ends up like averaging out to being like his incredible games are so incredible that he ends up being like a top 5 to 10 receiver. But you don't feel good starting him very often.
No, not at all.
But yeah, Joey's in the playoff hunt.
He is. He very much is, even with his team getting auto-drafted.
Kobe Fleener was
actually, I guess, worse than auto-drafted. He didn't even get a first-round pick. So if Joey makes the playoffs, it's very impressive.
Yeah, agreed. All right. Our next matchup was Rishi, the Galladayan Express, against the OJ Butt Kickers. Haller, you took Rishi -8. And Rishi won by 22. What do you think about this game? I got to find it.
You're good. Yeah, this is all Edelman and Galladay for Rishi. Brissett really disappointed. Michelle disappointed. Gurley disappointed. Ingram kind of disappointed. I mean, he got a touchdown, so we saved him. But really, two guys. Yeah, I had a feeling I definitely didn't think that Haller was going to have a big week. His matchups just weren't great.
Yeah, especially with Keenan. Yeah.
Yeah, and the lone bright spot for Haller from this week is Rodgers put up two straight unreal games. So he's looking like his old self. It only took Haller 4 straight years of drafting him for it to finally pay off.
Is he still carrying three tight ends?
Four times a charm, man. You say?
Is he still carrying three tight ends?
Who, Haller? He might be carrying.
Yeah. He had Ebron. None of these say off. Ebron, Howard, and
Howard.
Love it.
I mean, I don't blame him for not drafting Howard. I mean, he was, what, his fifth-round pick? That's another really disappointing one.
Yep, agreed. Rishi, with the ballsy
God damn
correct...
it, dude.
Sorry. Ron, what happened?
I was just going to say the Cardinals are moving the ball again. I picked the 49ers and Survivor, so I'm sweating a little bit over here.
Dude, those Thursday night games are – they never, like, go
I know.
Supposed to.
I know, but I – you know, when you get this late in it, you start running into, you know, I picked the Seahawks already and the Patriots and, like, all these good teams. So it's, like, kind of forced into it. But, all right, yeah continue.
And you ballsy to pick the Jets against the Dolphins. Couldn't pull the trigger on
Yeah, exactly.
One.
Yeah. Because, yeah, the Dolphins actually, like, they're not good at all, of course, and they're trying to lose. But they play hard. Like, those teams are dangerous that play hard.
Yeah.
I mean, as you can tell, they were up 14-0. What'd you say?
Are you gonna talk about that Deontay Johnson touchdown?
Oh god. Okay, but that had to be on purpose, right? They were like,
yeah,
right,
they blitzed
if we win,
nine guys.
That was like some Madden. That was like playing Madden. And I didn't realize it was 3rd and 22, which is even worse because if it's 1st and 10, it's like, all right, let's get it out of their hands quickly and make a tackle and keep the clock. All right. 3rd and 22, like, dude.
Yeah.
What are you
doing?
Yeah,
all you have to do was, like, let them make a 10-yard pass, make a tackle, and they would have been fringe field goal range, probably have to punt.
And Boswell already missed a 50-yarder. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist guy, but do you think that the owner was like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you trying to win? I'm going to need you to let them score because Tua is – we still want to pick Tua number one.
I mean, it's not impossible. Okay. What is the – so if the – who still hasn't won? The Dolphins, the Bengals, and the Redskins?
No, Redskins beat the Dolphins.
Right.
Which doesn't really count. No, wait. I feel like there's another winless team.
I think
– maybe not.
I feel like there is two.
Bengals, Dolphins.
Jets beat the Cowboys somehow.
Jets just beat the Cowboys, which is crazy. Not the Giants. Maybe not.
If they both go, do the Dolphins and Bengals play each other?
That's a good question. I don't know. I wonder what the tiebreaker is for that.
That's what I was getting at. If
I'm
they
sure
both
it is.
Go 0-16, what is the tiebreaker?
It was an That's so funny because my initial thought was, well, maybe it's like division record. But something tells me that's going to be a wash as well. Maybe point differential? I mean, there's no other difference that I can think of.
It would have to go to like point differential or something.
Or, dude, you know what it might be? It's like division record.
They both have 0 wins. It would be the same.
No, like division, like your like, other players in your – in your division. So, like, obviously the Bengals would get the second pick because their division is better, or vice versa, other way around. Like, so the Ravens have, you know, 12 wins, the Browns have 8, but the AFC East is going to be bad.
So then
I don't know. I'm just trying to think.
We'll get
so then whoever has
that for us.
Whoever has the worst division gets the first pick. Because they're even worse than the other team. I don't know. Just a guess.
Yeah.
We'll do some research on that.
We'll get our stats department on it.
Yeah.
Eric? One other thing I want to point out, pretty good move by Rishi, ballsy move to bench Odell this week.
Yep. It was.
That's tough to do, to bench your number one pick, who's a complete can be, but against New England, smart move. And he would not have outscored any of the receivers or flex that he played. Nope. So Rishi moves to 4-4. Haller falls to 5-3. And then our last game of the week, we had Drew, Stormborns against Sanders. Get your Tyreek on. You took Sander +9, and Bruns won this one by 13. The highest scoring match and the closest match of the week, I believe.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're right. This is a good one.
Yeah, Bruns streaming Stafford, who's been on a tear. I mean, Bruns did this with Chase Edmonds going down pretty early, but I mean, McCaffrey's just an animal.
He is. I mean,
even in that game where they're being blown out, he's still.
Yeah, if I told you that they're playing on the road against San Francisco, the final score is from 51-13, and he still has 25.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah, Brun scores 120 or more every freaking week. It's insane.
Yeah. I think he was the leader until you made that trade this week. Because he doesn't really have an RB2. He's kind of just been cycling through random people.
Yeah, because McCaffrey is an RB1 and RB2.
Yeah, no kidding.
But look out for Sander. Those last one to two playoff spots are wide open, and especially if Montgomery starts to pick it up, he's really got a good team. Mahomes will probably come back like after the bye. Godwin will be fine. It's almost a blessing that Cooks got hurt for him, because he keeps playing him, and I don't blame him. But now he can play Jordan Howard every week, I think.
Or
Tyrell Williams. Tyrell Williams would be a good play too, for sure.
Yep, agreed. He's got – is James Conner – is he going to play this week?
It said he didn't practice today, but he's kind of like Breida. He's always hurt.
Doesn't
practice and then comes through miraculously.
Right. It'll be interesting to see if Montgomery actually starts to turn it on, or if this was a product of the Chargers' shitty run defense.
True. And he was getting killed. The Bears coach was getting killed all week for not running it.
Yeah.
It could be like overcorrection.
Right.
And then he'll start giving it to Cordarrelle Patterson more. God, fucking idiots.
Once Sanders' team definitely has he's got a higher ceiling, I think, than most with Watson and Tyreek Hill once Mahomes is back.
Because those Godwin. Are
two guys that can just take – and who? And Godwin, yeah.
And Godwin.
Those are three guys that can just have like – I mean, they can get up to that – like on their good weeks, they can easily be at that 40-point range.
For sure, especially when Mahomes is back, he can do that in like the first quarter.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. He'll be back after when they're not on the bye till week 12, right?
For
the Chiefs.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. I bet Mahomes will come back before that.
I mean, yeah, they're saying he's, like, going to play – or, like, he's out for this week. Yeah, week 12, you're right. So they have three more weeks. I mean, at Tennessee, maybe? That's next week?
Yeah, they may have to – they may not have a choice if they want to make the playoffs because
– yeah. Well, luckily, their division is trash, so maybe they don't have to be
– oh, yeah, that's true. But, yeah, they play Minnesota this week, who may – I'm seriously considering starting Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison against them.
That's a great – that would have been smart again in our matchup. I think Mattison had, what, like 9 points?
Yeah, he was the second-best running back I had. Sander definitely has a borderline borderline playoff team, especially if Montgomery can turn back on or can
for sure
can keep up what he's doing. And then Bruns, I mean, Bruns is going to be, I mean, he's got just stalwarts with McCaffrey, Julio, Lockett, and
Diggs coming alive too. And yeah, dude,
he's still a tight end.
That's insane. That's insane. But and without Matt Ryan, like, you know, you would have expected Hooper and Jones to really disappoint without Ryan. And
why Julio is back. Schaub.
The GOAT.
Future MVP Matt Schaub.
This year, right? lead him to the playoffs.
Yeah. So yeah, Bruns is 6-2, sitting top of the lead right now. Sander falls at 3-5. Overall this week you went 4-2, which pushes your overall record to 28-20. Just on a tear right now. The last 3 weeks, I think you're like, what? You've lost like 4 games total?
Well, Sam, yeah. I'm pretty smart.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's really – this is important stuff.
All right, so we were talking about the playoff picture a little bit as we were going through, but
right.
Didn't really touch on the Sacco race at all. So I kind of ranked my top three contenders. Not my top three most likely, but I think three that to keep an eye on as potential Sacco. First is Carey. Obviously, he's had some injury issues with David Johnson being hurt and Adam Thielen being hurt and Sterling Shepard being hurt and Christian Kirk being hurt throughout the year. Damian Williams, too. So he's had a decent amount of bad luck. But even more than that, you've just got to bring into question his manager abilities after watching him leave David Johnson on the bench being inactive.
As far as commitment level, yeah, you're right.
So I think, and he's currently at the 2-6, bottom of the league. He's kind of leaning into potentially being Sacco with his Greyhound bus link ticket that he sent out. So,
yeah, I think. Yeah, he's rough go with injuries, but. And I guess he wouldn't have won this week, but that's going to be really important for him to keep playing, though, because, you know, like he plays Knopf this week. Like, come on, Jerry, I need you. Knock Knopf out of here.
All about you, huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right. Next, number two on my list, I have Phil, our current reigning champion. He's 4-4, so he's not really – in too much danger right now, but he did just trade away his most valuable player in Kamara. So if Kamara comes back healthy and Latavius Murray kind of returns to his role, he pretty much is much weaker at running back. And then he's already been playing kind of the plug and play game at receiver with not so much proven guys. Although Golden Tate has been pretty solid since he's been back. I think Phil's team lost a lot of firepower and strong play for this year after that trade that he kind of – I don't think he will, but I think he's in a worse-off situation than a lot of teams with his current roster.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think he's really going to need a – I think, though, if he can win this week, he should be okay. You know, he's at six wins or five wins. And, you know, he's 3 games ahead of those guys. So,
right.
I think this week is really important. Yeah, he's going to need the 49ers to step up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to have to turn that game on because I had no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm glad the Cardinals scored first. So it actually looks like it's going to be an entertaining game.
Yeah, that's always helpful. And then the third person I have on the list, I have myself. I've kind of buffered myself with the strong start that I had. Well, I didn't really have a strong start. I just had the ability to play defense really well at the start of the year.
Right.
Because I'm 5-3, but I think I have the third least points in the league.
Yeah, I saw that too. Kind of been the anti-Eric this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, if obviously I don't – I mean, my RB2 is Carlos Hyde. My Juju has been a – like, not horrible, but not what I drafted him to be. And then Cortland Sutton just lost his quarterback. Although it was Joe Flacco, they now have like a seventh round journeyman backup trying third to cover their play. Yeah, so there's definitely a scenario of where if I go on a skid and maybe in the season 5-8 and some of the 2-6, 3-5 teams win a couple games, where I would be in some serious danger of falling to Sacco.
Yeah, but I mean. So you think when AJ Green comes back that like, what are you gonna what is he are you gonna play him next week? Which sounds insane to think about sitting him, but
I have no idea.
Right.
I mean, I'll be because Sutton's on a bye next week, so I'll be deciding between Robert Woods and AJ Green in his first game back with whoever their quarterback is now. I don't
right, even... right. Insane. They just benched him. I mean, come
he's like
on.
He's like top five in the league in like pass yards too.
What the freaking guy to do? I mean, that's unbelievable. If your defense gives up 40 yards a carry, it's going to be pretty hard for you to beat anybody. And to put it all on Dalton is just crazy to me. Like no one has ever said that Dalton is like Andrew Luck, where the whole team around him can suck and he's still going to win you 10 games, but he's got to have some help. Like you think he's yeah. that much worse than Garoppolo or Kirk Cousins? Like, no, but Kirk Cousins has a lot of help, which isn't a bad thing. It's just like, that's so right. crazy to me. I feel on his birthday, fucking assholes.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Yesterday or 2 days ago was his birthday. And they waited to announce the benching until after the trade deadline. And he himself was like, well, if you would have told me before the trade deadline, me and my agent would have tried to work out a trade.
That's wild. I did not know.
I know. That. Yeah.
Damn, that sucks. So one time I went to Kings Island in like high school, and it was Andy Dalton Day at Kings Island. So apparently he was walking around. We tried to find him, couldn't find him, but it didn't seem like there was much enthusiasm for Andy Dalton Day at Kings Island.
Right, because it's in – what is it?
It's in Cincinnati.
Oh, it's in Cincinnati. Okay.
Right outside of Cincinnati.
That's hilarious. Well, yeah, that was probably when the Bengals were, like, really good and made the playoffs every year. Damn. Scored touchdown.
Yeah, I actually
saw. Way to go, Eric.
So, I guess his injury wasn't very serious then, huh?
Yeah. Farm this guy into the freaking ground. Oh, my God. Are yeah, you watching?
Like.
Yes. Jesus, dude. He is so good.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up. You got anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. Talk to you next week. Go Hoosiers.
Go Hoosiers.